Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
All right, welcome back, family. You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media. And it is time for us to get into our mid-morning chat here on Mid Morning Empowerment. And we're talking about a recent incident that caught the attention of the faith-based, the faith-leaning social media pages. Pastor Tapio Amterio will be joining us for this conversation. And for those of you who might not be familiar with the story, a preacher talked about the unfairness of some of the things, you know, unjust, unfair, unthinkable, atrocious things that seem to just be a part of the human experience. And in that message, I'm paraphrasing, of course, he said that he disagreed with God's decision to allow some of these things. In fact, some things were not only allowed, but even caused by God. And of course, the Christian community was up in arms. And so we're talking about whether or not we have any leg to stand on as human beings. Do we dare to even challenge God? And as I said, Pastor Tapio is joining us for this conversation. My pastor, good morning and welcome back to the program.
Good morning. Good morning. How are you? And good morning to the viewers.
Doing very well.
Listeners, rather.
Doing well. Doing well. Thank you so much for joining us. Yeah, so I think that'll be my first question to you, Pastor. Do we, in fact, even dare to challenge God? Is it disrespectful to voice out our questions or even our displeasure with the decisions that he makes in our lives?
I think it's about how you package the, without taking away anything from the words, is how you define what is being said. You could define it as what word did you use? As defiance?
Mm-hmm.
Or you could define it as a lament.
Okay.
Yes. So a defiance would be, I'm up in arms against God and I'm going to fight him, maybe even verbally.
Mm-hmm.
Or you could say, I'm in a place of helplessness,
mm-hmm,
and I'm crying out to God and saying, hey, I've got a cognitive dissonance here. I know you to be powerful. I know you can do this. If you let it happen, I don't agree with you.
Yeah.
And not the fact that I'm speaking to him is a relationship of its own.
Mm.
And I'm lamenting to him because he's my father.
Yeah.
I talk to him and tell him how I'm viewing things. It's not that God is wrong. It's not that I'm right. It's that I'm in pain. I'm in agony. And I'm crying out to him.
Yeah.
So it's how you package that. If you want to package it as defiance, then that's something else. It also could be packaged as a lament,
right?
Which is a what in the Bible. There's a lot of laments in the Bible. There's actually a book called Lamentations.
Yeah.
Where a person is lamenting to God. I know you to be powerful. I know you to be all-seeing. I know you to be all-knowing. How would you allow this to happen?
I think that's a powerful place to be, recognizing that even in this hopeless state, even in this situation where nothing is making sense, where nothing is going my way, but I still recognize that God is God. I've not turned my back on him. I have not, I've not decided that I don't believe in him anymore. I still believe he's there, and that's why I'm actually confronting him about a situation that I'm facing. So on a certain level, it's kind of an act of faith, would you say?
Oh, yep. I would actually say that, because some of the inspired words in the Bible are from David, where he's actually doing exactly the same, and I should have really thought about it and read a few of them.
Mm-hmm.
But there's, restore the bonds that you have broken. He's saying that to God.
Mm.
Restore the bonds that you have broken. God has not broken any of David's bones.
Yeah.
This is an emotional expression to a person who is, and it's God who then says about David, a man after my own heart. David is searching after God's heart in his humanity. There is the limitedness of humanity in understanding, in wrapping our minds around the whole idea or the whole person of God.
Yeah.
So we are always going to struggle with it. The more genuine we are, the more authentic we are going to struggle with it. And it doesn't unsettle my belief in God. It actually cements it that, hey, I'm totally sold to you. What's going on right now?
Powerful. Powerful. One of the other criticisms that I've heard also with regards to this particular situation is that as a pastor, he is the one that we would look to for answers, not to add on to the questions that we already have, not to add on more doubts or, you know, those kinds of questionings. So should pastors be able to, you know, to be vulnerable when they don't understand or even when they dare to disagree with God's actions? Are they able to do that? Is it a safe space, you know, being behind the pulpit to air out the grievances that you would have with God as a spiritual leader?
Let me put it clear that I don't know that I am defending the pastor.
Mm-hmm.
Or not, because I listen to I'm speaking from my own
yes
experience, understanding
yes
that I would be that vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
Would I use the same words? Maybe not, but going back to the meaning of what he was trying to put across,
yeah,
I would say the time has come and gone. That ship has gone.
Yeah.
Of a pastor who appears to know everything, because that's actually inauthenticity.
Yes.
We don't know. I've not sat on the bench with God and he said, you know what I'm going to do in, because the context I remember was about Russia and Ukraine.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why I haven't stopped all that thing, why I haven't judged whether it's Putin or the other guy.
Yeah.
This is the reason. We don't know.
Yeah.
We don't know. And I think the point of pain is not just Russia and Ukraine. We have our own pain down in Southern Africa,
yeah,
where things have not been resolved. A lot of things have happened that have not been resolved. We have our own pain. So when we see someone else in pain, we empathize from the place of our own pain. You understand what I mean?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So when we do that from the pulpit then is being authentic. A pastor who's not vulnerable belongs in the museum. We are in a different, you see, Adventism, and I love Adventism, that's why I'm an Adventist pastor.
Mm-hmm, right.
But sometimes we need to self-criticize, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Self-awareness, they say, is the way to go in terms of self-progress.
Right.
So I'm coming from a place of love, not a place of criticizing my church. Maybe critiquing,
yeah,
not
yeah
criticizing.
Yeah.
We were founded in the age of enlightenment,
okay,
1800s, in America, not in Africa, in America.
Mm-hmm.
We were founded in an age of enlightenment where propositional truths were supposed to be very clear, and Sabbath is Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
We have kind of moved a little in terms of our culture in a way that doesn't make Saturday not the Sabbath, but
uh-huh,
in a way that says, what is the meaning of the Sabbath in terms of existential reality?
Okay.
Why should I be believing in terms of hope, in terms of my lived realities? How does the Sabbath answer to that?
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just more propositional truth. Now,
yeah,
because we've been set in that, a lot of us, our minds have not moved on to a place of dealing with existential realities, which is a place of questioning.
Yeah.
And I think the pastor has moved on to that space and is speaking to a generation that has questions. And questions sometimes we have no answer for.
Yeah.
So there is a spirituality of questioning. Let me put that out again.
Mm.
A spirituality of not knowing.
Mm.
Not a spirituality of knowing that Sabbath is Saturday. No, a place of say, there was a propositional truth we hold on to that we have preached. I've heard it from many sermons.
Mm-hmm.
That if you return your tithes, God is going to open the windows.
Yes.
How many of us have returned tithes and things did not add up at the end of the month?
Hey.
We found ourselves with a lot of money at the end of our money.
Yeah.
Instead of having a lot of money at the end of the month.
Yeah.
After we've faithfully returned tithes.
Yeah.
Now, why is it that that is happening when I have been faithful to God?
Yeah.
Now, I don't have an answer for that.
Mm.
I have no answer for that. So I'm going to struggle with that on the pulpit. and say, hey, there's a spirituality here that comes from a place of not knowing. And that's called vulnerability, where the congregation sees the pastor bleeding and they say, he's one of us.
I think it's so difficult for many people to acknowledge that, the power in not knowing. Because there's something about that forces you to then just surrender. Because if we had all the answers, then why do we even need a God? Because that's almost like God is like reporting to us. God has to come and be accountable to us and say, this is what I'm doing. These are my plans. And this is how things are going to go. And this is why things didn't work out the way you expected and all of that. There's something about not knowing. And I really appreciate what you're saying about looking at our pastor and saying that he is just like me. Because there's so many people who have those same questions. There are many people who prayed and fasted and their marriage still fell apart and their loved ones still died after they had prayed for healing and they have all these questions like, why does God keep allowing these things to happen? I was just saying that there's something about not knowing and knowing that even my pastor has questions that don't have answers as yet.
True. You know, in my earlier years of ministry, I would come around as a person with a lot of answers.
Okay.
I would get to a person who is going through struggle. I actually shared a story with my friends in reflection of people sort of, I was in a WhatsApp group where people were talking about the pastor's sermon, and I said, I was an intern when I went to see a lady who had just lost a husband and a son in a terrible accident.
Sure.
And she was angry with God. And I got there and I defended God. God is still good. And, we have to see through all this, the great controversy and that. You know what? She said within 5 minutes, "Oh, thank you, Pastor. I've got some other things that I need to do." And kicked me out, literally. She kicked me out, literally. Yeah. And I could tell that we were not emotionally gelling.
Yeah.
We were not aligned, so to speak.
Yeah.
So I went and, I had this thing with my supervisor because I had a supervisor, very, very wise man.
Mm-hmm.
And I thank God for that man because I went to see him. We would meet every Tuesday, every alternate Tuesday, and he would say, "Hey, tell me about the hard events of ministry that you have had, and then let's go over them."
Okay.
So I told him about Lady, and how it went.
Yeah.
And he said, "Okay, don't worry." He never said anything more about it.
Uh-huh.
He just said, "Don't worry." And then the next day, he calls me and he says, "I've just put an appointment with that lady. Would you want to come with me one more time, and let's go and see her? Maybe she's in a better place now."
Okay.
He did not condemn me or anything.
Uh-huh.
He just said, "Yeah, let's go." And we got there. When we got there, I could still tell that the vibe, she wondered what I was doing there.
Yeah.
But she was open to the senior pastor. And the senior pastor said, "So if God was sitting in that chair," there was a chair there.
Mm-hmm.
"If he was sitting in that chair, what would you tell?" And she just went on a verbal... just spitting out words.
Yeah.
More to the same effect as the pastor's sermon.
Yeah.
Bang, 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 bang. Then I thought, "Yes, Pastor, let's defend God now." And God said, and the pastor said, "Now let's pray." Without saying anything more. And he said exactly the same words the lady had said. "God, we want answers from you."
Hey.
Bang, 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 exactly the same words. This we sit here with this lady. We don't know. We have no answer.
Sure.
To tell her. We are supposed to be pastors. You did not inspire us before we came here. All we know is that we feel the pain of this lady. You know, when we finished, the lady just fell onto the shoulder of the pastor and said, thank you, Pastor."
Wow.
And now, this time, the lady who still have wanted to hold on to us, within 25 minutes, because the pastor Later on, as we discussed this, the pastor did not want us to waffle.
Yeah.
And things, you know, that's where you then start saying wrong things.
Yeah.
I know exactly what you're going through.
Mm.
The pastor said, in 25 minutes, we had packed our bags and we were leaving.
Mm.
And my lesson had been learned.
Yeah. So based on that, then that to me, what you're saying there, it sounds like God is not afraid of being questioned, or you know, he's not afraid of our questions and does not need us to defend him.
You know how I understand the 1,000 years. I believe God is putting himself. He's putting himself in a place of saying, judge my judgment.
Mm.
Now that you are in heaven, you are seeing from a heavenly perspective. Ask those questions that you were asking. You see, our tears are not dried until the 1,000 years. If you read the book of Revelation, chapter 20, it's in chapter 21 when the 1,000 years are over that he says, then he will wipe away all our tears.
Hey.
Our tears cannot be wiped until our questions are answered.
Sure.
So in those 1,000 years, God is putting himself on the dock there, and he's saying, hey, I am the judge now. Judge my judgment. Mm. What we say after the judgment, the crowds, the multitude said, your judgment is true and just.
Hey.
But for now, I don't see it. I don't see it.
Wow.
I'm like Job, though he crushes me.
And Job is another one. That's just another example. Yeah. And of course, after Job, there have been so many people, and there's probably someone listening to us right now who's had one trial after another, just one thing after another, one disaster after another.
True.
And they're saying, but God, what is this? What's happening? And tell us what the danger is in trying to silence a person who has those kinds of questions. Now, we're not talking about this specific preacher, just in general. When someone has these questions and someone has this anger, like the lady that you described there, that you were counseling in her grief, what is the danger of silencing that person or making them feel that it is disrespectful to ask God questions or to even be angry with God?
The danger is right there in the book of Job. We've got Job's three friends. They did a good job for the first 7 days when they were silent. They messed up when they started talking.
Mm.
I've learned to be silent when I'm with, you know, those silent moments. To hold more silence is actually a blessing of being present. So these friends of Job defended God and said, this has never happened to anyone unless they have sinned. And they started speaking, no, God cannot do anything bad to a good person.
Yeah.
And they were defending God, and Job was asking questions. You know, the whole theology we have in the book of Job, Job does not know it because God never answered Job. We know it because we are reading, we've got a bird's eye view on this story. But Job will only understand it in the 1,000 years. You know, because he doesn't know about the meeting in heaven. He doesn't know all about that. You and I know because we've read the book.
Wow.
So Job is questioning God, and then God shows up in chapter 38, after 37 chapters of people waffling and defending God. And God says, no, Job, I'm not. Even then, in the next three chapters, God is speaking, but he does not explain himself.
Mm.
It's him saying, were you there when I did this? Were you there? Literally, God is saying, I'm older than you. I know these things better than you. But that has not dismissed my pain.
Yeah. Mm.
Then in chapter 42, verse 7, God says, you know, Job, I'm angry with your three friends because they've tried to say what they've said.
Mm-hmm.
Not with Job who asked questions. It was with the friends who defended God.
Wow.
Because then they made God a tyrant. If there's anything in the Bible, if ever you wondered what the Bible is all about, from Genesis to Revelation, it's about God's character.
Mm-hmm.
It's on the line. The devil trying to attack God's character. There are times when we defend someone and we end up messing up his character.
Yeah. Hey. Yeah.
So he's a relational God.
Yeah.
I'm going to get into trouble with what I'm just about to say.
Okay.
Is God male or female?
That already
is
in
known
trouble.
As a father. I don't think he's male. I don't think he's female.
Right.
I think God is above that.
Mm.
The only reason why he has chosen to be known as a father is that he was thinking of the best relational term that humans could understand.
Mm.
Now, I've never been angry with the next door neighbor's wife.
Okay.
But sometimes pastors don't get angry with their wives. No, the wives.
Right.
We just
right.
have an intense moment of fellowship. My point being, I would not be truthful if I said I've not been angry with my wife, or neither has she ever been angry with me.
Yeah.
The reason why we have had those moments of intense fellowship is that we're married to each other. There's a relationship there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very skeptical when a couple sits before me and they say, we never quarrel, we never have issues.
Yeah.
Because it means one of them has stopped being an individual. So in our relationship with God, when I hear someone say, now where I am at in my ministry, when I hear someone saying I'm angry with God, and I say, well, I've been there.
Yeah.
Please tell me more about it.
Yeah.
And I'm very comfortable with someone who's angry with God.
Mm.
Not that they're right and God is wrong.
Yeah.
But I understand God to be a powerful God.
Mm.
How come I'm suffering? Mm. You know, I have a friend I'm traveling with right now who has that cognitive dissonance. He's actually, this guy has got a master's in theology.
Okay.
And things have just been happening one after the other.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, Tappy, what's going on? And every one of our friends, in our circle of friends, every one of our friends has come with explanations. You know, it's like this, the great controversy.
Yeah.
And I've just said, I'm not going to have that anxious presence with him.
Yeah.
I'm just going to sit with him under his dark cloud.
Yeah.
And acknowledge, validate what's going on for him.
Yeah.
And that's all I'm going to be doing.
There's something very powerful about that validation. Like, because, and I find that most of the time, the platitudes that we come with, it's not something that the person has never heard before. So to say that God is good all the time, I've heard that before. I get it. I know that. But right now, I'm upset. I'm not happy. I'm this close to depression. You know, things are falling apart in my life. Don't tell me that God is good. I've heard that before.
No.
But right now, I don't feel it. And I guess it's just about the timing or the sensitivity. But as we're wrapping it up, you spoke earlier about the cognitive dissonance. And sometimes I wonder if that's what it is that we have when we... when we say that God's ways are not our ways, and we recite that verse, you know, his ways are not our ways, his thoughts are not our thoughts. Sometimes, do you think that could sometimes be some kind of a coping mechanism where we don't really want to acknowledge the confusion that we have? This is speaking for myself. That's basically where I just throw all my questions, they end up there with, okay, God's ways are not my ways, his thoughts are not my thoughts. I don't get it, so I'm just going to park it in that verse and say, this is one of those ways that are not my ways, which I'll never understand. His ways are way above mine, right? If God's ways are not our ways, doesn't it then make sense that sometimes we're going to disagree with him? Even as we acknowledge that he is God, but we can't disagree because his ways are not our ways. His Bible tells us that.
That's so true. And there's two ways we can read that phrase. His ways are not our ways. It's a place almost of healing. It's a place where I'm coming to terms. Because grieving takes time.
Mm-hmm.
And when I come to a place where I'm now saying, well, his ways are not my ways,
mm-hmm.
I've gone through a year of grieving and lamenting.
Mm.
So that's almost at the tail end of my agony.
Mm.
Because at some point in time, David will have to stand up from his ashes.
Mm. Mm.
But there are times when he's still in the ash.
Yeah.
So at the end of my ashes, I'm going to say, oh God, I've accepted your ways are not my ways. Because ultimately, we know that God is always right.
Yeah.
But he's in heaven. He's seeing things from a heavenly perspective.
Yeah.
I'm still down here. So that's one place to be in saying God's ways are not my ways. Mm-hmm. And then the other way is to look at it from exactly what you have said and say, I understand that that's your way of doing things, but where I am at right now in my way of doing things, mm-hmm. and what I was expecting from you, not even because of my expectations, but because of what you've declared yourself to be.
Yeah.
I believe that. It's not just, your ways are not my ways, and I'm disagreeing with you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And God allows that wrestle to happen. He allows that to happen because maturity comes out of that.
Sure.
Maturity comes out of that.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Pastor, final thoughts.
My final thoughts are, I've learned in prayer. Uh-huh. So many years ago, I went to a prayer program where we were praying, and I was taught this thing that helped me not to waffle in prayer.
Okay.
It's called the ACT prayer. A standing for adoration, C standing for confession, T standing for thanksgiving, and S for supplication.
Okay.
And I've tried to order. It makes me just have, you know, pauses. I pray with my spirit, and I also pray in my understanding. Mm-hmm. So it just allows me to know exactly what I'm going. My prayer is a little bit orderly when I do that, when I remember to use X. But nobody told me that in the Bible there's yet another kind of prayer. It's called a lament.
Mm.
Where I'm not okay with God.
Mm.
Why, God? Why is this happening? And sometimes the lament is not a theology. Where it's not a theology class where you are talking about the nature of God and God is always right. No, that's not it. This is an experiential expression of a person in agony.
Mm.
Why have you broken my bones? David would ask. That's actually not true. But yet it's inspired. It's in the Bible.
Mm.
Though he crushes me, that's Job. God is not crushing him. Mm. If anything, is building him. But those words are authentic. So when people are lamenting, let's not come with our theology, because God says, cry with those that are crying.
Mm.
Or weep with the ones that are weeping. So stay there where the person is at that moment.
Yeah.
Don't quickly try to fix it for them.
Mm.
Defending God. God is very capable of defending himself.
Powerful. Powerful. My pastor, thank you so much for your time this morning. This has been an enlightening conversation. Thank you so much. We really appreciate you coming through and sharing your insights on this subject.
My blessings to you and the listeners.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Family, I hope that you were blessed by that. And I do hope that that encourages you to be more authentic in your relationship with God and the way that you relate to him. And not only that, even when we speak of or when we look to our spiritual leaders and the people that we see up front, recognizing that they are human beings as well. They have their questions. And as Pastor Tapiwa said, sometimes we may not necessarily agree with the specific wording or the specific approach, but God is not afraid. God is not threatened by the things that we say, and he doesn't necessarily need us to defend him. And looking at the story of Job, we see what happens when we do try and do that. And it also, I feel like it also kind of alienates the person who needs to vent, someone who needs to let it out, the pain that they're feeling, the disappointment. Because I don't know, if you've gone through your whole life and your relationship with God and you've never come to a place where you've said, God, what is this? I don't know how authentic your relationship is. Now, I'm not saying that you should be looking for disasters left and right, but surely at some point you've had some questions, and you should know that God is not afraid of that. He's not a tyrant who's going to condemn you because you had a question or because you had a doubt or you had a fear or anything like that. He's your Father. He loves you. Open yourself up to him and be authentic in the way that you relate to him. All right, let's take a music break. I'd love to hear your thoughts. +27734703520. This is the Mid-Morning Empowerment Weekend Edition.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.